In Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6, the Bible says, Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Sure the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Karjathibra, which is Arba, was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from all. Now isn't it amazing tonight that when a man of God from Israel went in as a stranger into this place, that we see tonight that Caleb went in. And the Bible said that he would drive them out. But we find there was rest before him. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Boy, this is a familiar piece of text. And I could not tell you tonight how many times I've seen a preacher at some moment in time during revival come to this text and preach on Caleb desiring the mountain. Now tonight, I don't really want to focus in so much on that, but yet I want to focus in on Caleb. And I'll say this to you tonight. I admire Caleb, but yet I admire Joshua, and I admire Caleb, because the Bible said that when he was 40 years old, that he came before Moses and he desired to have that land. Now, just a little bit of history about Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies through the book of Numbers, chapter 13, that was sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And I'll say this to you, I'm glad, listen, the children of Israel are supposed to go to the land of Canaan, which is a place flowing with milk and honey. It was a wonderful place. It was the land that God had designed for these men to go. And they had went and spied out this land. And we're going to read some references here in just a minute. But the Bible teaches us that as they came back, and those spies, they came back to the children of Israel, and they basically said that we're unable to go and get this land. And boy, they brought back a cluster of grapes. And Brother Junior, I'd like to think tonight that one of those grapes was about the size of my head. And I don't know about you, but I believe that'd clean a man out if he just ate that in one sitting, don't you? And I believe that was some grapes that was worth seeing, that was that big. And boy, they carried that cluster out on the staff between two men. And when they came back to the children of Israel, Brother O'Bean, they made out these men like they were giants. And boy, they said that we were but as grasshoppers in our eyes before them. And I'm saying this to you tonight, boy, it seems like the enemy trying to get where we're going, boy, he's standing tall tonight. Boy, it seems like we're promised good things, but there's so much difficulty, Brother Junior, that stands from where we're at to where we're going to go. Boy, it seems like there's so many struggles on the right hand and on the left hand. It seems like when, I'll say this used to be, boy, I prayed for our people. But it seems like when one of them gets to doing better, it seems like the spouse will get sick. Or it seems like they can't catch a break. And it don't seem like they can ever get ahead. And it seems like that it just gets a little discouraging the further we go. But I'm thankful tonight to report to you there is a brighter day coming. And I promise you, listen to me, it's the darkest now before the dawn. And I truly believe tonight there's something better that's laying on the dawn. If we can just hold together for a little while, I believe there's something better on down the line if we'll just stay faithful to the service of God. The Bible teaches us that Caleb was 40 years old. I've not got there yet, but in just a few years, in just a few days, I'll be there. But I don't know what it's like to be 40. I've heard people say that it's on the downhill slope. And Jesus says, preacher, that's right. Brother Junior, how long is 40 years ago? How long has it been since you was 40?
It's
44 years. He didn't know he was going to get used again tonight, or he wouldn't have come.
I'm ready for it, man.
You ready for it? Amen. Come here, preacher. Come here. You're going to have to preach tonight. Brother Junior, would you say that today you're as strong as you was when you was 40 years old?
No, I'm not.
No, I ain't. Would you say you're ready to go toe-to-toe and box a man if you had to?
Oh, yeah. I used to. I'm not proud of it.
Don't tell that. You just go ahead and stand there and say, I'll take the time. Don't worry, Benny's got your back.
Yeah.
Would you say, preacher, that your health is as good today as it was when you were 40?
No, it's not.
It's not. Boy, it would be something for me to ask you to go out here and fight a million to men, wouldn't it? You'd say that preacher slapped off his mind, wouldn't you? But when you were 40, you were probably pretty high key, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you something. Junior may not have the strength to be like he was, but he's still the same Junior. And I'll tell you something. Junior might be 84 tonight instead of 85 where Caleb was at. But I'll tell you this. I still wouldn't want to be caught in a dark area with him and make him mad. You know why? I found out something. Them old men don't fight anymore. They just kill you and go on. Amen. He lives in the middle of Rhonda, so you know he's got to be pretty tough. Amen. But you'd say that you've throttled back some in the past 44 years.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather pray for him.
You'd rather pray for him?
No.
But do you believe that God's still able today like he was when he was 40?
Oh, yeah. He watched over. I was in the car for over 4 times. And I'm still here.
You're still here? Had a couple of strokes, ain't you?
Yeah.
But you're still here, ain't you?
Yeah, he's got that long hair.
But he's brought you through it, ain't you?
I'm good at all.
Do you think God's still able today?
Yeah.
Do you think he's able?
Yeah.
All right, preacher. I'll use you here in a few more minutes, but I'll let you sit down and rest up. So you say, preacher, what are you saying? Let's take Brother Junior. It's been 45 years for Caleb. Caleb was 40 years old, preacher, when he wanted to go into that land. It has been 45 years. Don't you reckon Caleb might want to question God? God, why ain't you let me have it? God, it's been 45 years. You told me you was going to let me have that land. Lord, it's been 45 years. I'm going to die before I get my inheritance. Brother O'Dean, don't you reckon somewhere along the line, Caleb, his faith may have wavered? I mean, something he was promised at 40 years old, preacher, he's waited just as long as you, and he ain't got it. Don't you reckon tonight that Caleb somewhere along the lines would have said, Lord, you promised me that I was going to have it, and God, it's been 45 years, and here I am. I've got to be an old man. I've not got to enjoy the things that I would have had. And God, I'm not where I once was. And he could have easily said, preacher, I'm not as strong as I once was. I'm not as able to do what I once did. Boy, I could have had a life that God, if you'd let me go on in Don't you reckon Caleb could have easily sat down on God? How many of us tonight, and we need to be patient for something. After a few months, we throw our hands up and we want to quit. How many of us tonight that we can't stay faithful praying for something more than just a few days because we don't think God's able? But don't you reckon when Caleb got to be 85 and Joshua was tired and Caleb moved on the notion that the Holy Spirit of God told him to move, and he went before Joshua and he said, "Joshua, you know when I was 40 years old that I went and spied out that land, and Moses swore to me then and God gave me liberty that I could have it, and I want to take that land at 85 years old, though it looks big and though the war is dire, that I still want to go." You know why I admire Caleb? He was much older than Joshua, but yet he still recognized and respected the position of the man of God. You said, "What's really mean?" As an older person, listen to me. As I get older, it's harder to respect a younger generation. And listen to me, I'm thankful tonight that you senior saints have entrusted me and respected me where I'm in the position I am. It would be easy to write a young preacher off and say, "You know, he's young, he's full of life, he's full of energy. When he gets my age, he'll slow down." Isn't it easy to do that? But Caleb had respect for the man of God. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Joshua," he said, "basically, I want your blessing to go do this." He could easily have said, "I ain't asking that young whippersnapper anything." Rusty, he could easily said, "You know what? God, you want me to have it? I ain't got to ask for permission. I'm just going to go do it." But he did. He still followed the ordinance. He went before Joshua. He said, "Joshua," he said, "this day I'm as strong as I was back then." Brother Junior, he said, "Age ain't played no part of it." He said, "I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I can go out to war and I can fight." He said, "Send them two at a time." He said, "I've got it in me." And he said, "I'll do what I can." He said, "I'm as strong this day as I was then." And then he goes on to say, "Give me the mountain." You know what he said, preacher? He said, "There's some people over there that's going to put up some resistance." And he said, "I'm not asking to send the army, Joshua. I'm not asking to pack the troops." He says, "But that's what God told me he wanted me to have. And I'm going to go over there as an old man. And I'm going to go with what I've got. And I believe if God be with me, he'll drive them all out." Now, couldn't you imagine being in the inhabitants of heaven or Hebrew? Couldn't you imagine seeing this old gentleman coming up the hill? Brother Junior, I don't believe, but I take the Bible at face value, but we know how age plays on man. Brother Junior, I don't believe he was moving as fast as he once was, but I believe his heart was swelled up within him, don't you? I believe that when he topped that mountain of the bill, that he might have been swept for just a little bit. Don't you reckon? Listen, don't you reckon he got to thinking of, on the way up there, "How am I going to do this?" Don't you reckon, Brother Odin, he got to thinking, "Just how's this going to play out? What am I going to do if I get over there and this is what God's promised me, but I die in the fight?" I want to say this to you tonight. I believe Caleb was willing to die in battle for what was right, don't you? I believe Caleb even realized in that day and age that he would rather die in the battle going for what God wanted him to have than to die sitting there with a hope so, with a maybe so, with "I thought I could have it," or got bitter on God. Listen, Caleb could have got bitter on God in 45 years and sat down and got nothing. But he said, "I still want it." Amen. I'm going to say this too tonight. We need some people that want it. We need some folks. Listen to me. I'm telling you tonight. If you got up with what I'm about to share with you, I believe tonight you'll understand what I mean. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter number 1. You'll see the consecration of Caleb and God's promise. In Deuteronomy chapter number 1, I want you to look in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you of one of the tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down into us. And brought us word again, and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the son of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing did not believe the Lord your God. You say, Preacher, what happened? I truly believe it was where most of our church people are at today. You ever seen somebody catch on fire for God? By the way, the title of these series is Mountain Movers. And over the next few weeks, we're going to focus in on some folks out of the Bible. You said, Preacher, why are we going to do that? He has. He can. Or he has. He's able. He can. He will. I will believe. And you said, Preacher, what does that mean? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to have an example, and what we preached on faith this morning, having such a small faith that what it can do, and boy, our faith is increased by hearing, so it seems like that we ought to hear about some men and some women who had faith. And boy, these people of Israel, they came back and one of the spies was giving a report for Bill. They said, it's a land like you ain't ever seen. Boy, it's a fruitful land, Brother Upton. And it bears fruit. And boy, it's going to be a good place. And we ought to go on up and take it. And Moses said, all right. Said, we'll go. The people got in their tents. You know what they did? They started talking. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever seen somebody really get on fire from God? And somebody sits back and says, oh, just give them a little while. They'll be like everybody else. How many of you ever been around a crowd that, boy, all they talk about is negativity? Amen. I'm in a Baptist church. I'm clowning right tonight. There ain't but 20 or 25 of you here tonight. We're pulling a songbook at me, so I'll be all right. But I'll say this, Brother Hogan. How many times have you ever seen something starting to go good? Boy, I'm saying, it ain't going to last long. That'll fizzle out. Have you ever got around that crowd that says they just don't know what they're getting into? Have you ever gotten around that crowd that says, they better not ask me? Y'all all right tonight? They got their tears and they started saying, you know what, Brother Upton? That's some big old people up there. Brother Judy, they got to say, boy, you know what kind of fight it's going to be? Here Moses has. He's led us out of Egypt. Boy, back over in Egypt, at least they give us something to eat and some water. And here we are in the wilderness wandering around. And you got Caleb to come back that says that's the land that we're going to have. And boy, he's all fired up, ready to go get it. Well, let him go get it. I'd rather stay here. You know what? That's the same across our churches in America today. Preacher, this is the way we've always did it. Preacher, this is how it's always been done. Preacher, that ain't the way we've ever done it. Preacher, you just need to settle in and quit being so fired up and so excited. Preacher, you just wait till the edge gets rubbed off. Listen to me, I want to tell you something tonight. I still can't thank God enough for saving my soul from a devil's hell. I still can't get over the fact that He'd give His Son to die on Calvary. Listen to me, I don't want to be content with where I am. I want to go where God wants me to be.
Amen.
They said, them people are too big. The feet is too strong. You know what our problem is in our churches? We've got more discouraging sermons than encouragement.
Yeah.
Listen to me. You're living in one of the most discouraging days in the world. Boy, you've got everybody riled up. If you don't do it this way, and this is how it's supposed to be done, and this is what we expect, and this is what we think, and this is how you better do it. You've got your churches split down the middle. This crowd talking about that crowd. Honey, I'm telling you, listen. We ought to just get back to a place from where we put God first. And if God said it, and we ought to agree on it, and go forward for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And Caleb stood by her, and he began to beg and plead. But you know what the problem is? It ain't the people rebelling on the preacher or the man of God. It's not the people that was rebelling on Moses. Though it may have seemed that they had turned, Rusty, against Moses and Aaron, they had really turned against God.
Right.
You know what our problems are? It ain't the preachers. Listen to me. It ain't because somebody hurt their feelings. It ain't because somebody disagreed with them. It's the fact that they're bitter on God. Caleb, in 45 years, Dad could got to a place that he was bitter on God. You know what he says here in Deuteronomy chapter number 2? I want you to look with me. Well, let's look in chapter number 1 and look on down in verse number 39. Or verse number, go back up, excuse me. Go up to verse number 36. The Bible says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. He says, you know what? He said, Caleb, I don't know when you're going to see it, but I'll tell you this. Moses ain't going to make it. Moses and Aaron ain't going to get that. He said, not only that, all these adults that you see, Brother Johnny, they're not going to get that. He said, but Caleb is. And Caleb's family is going to get that. And them little ones, I'm going to get that. I want to tell you something this evening. We need some folks that will just get a hold of the throne of grace and get around the horns of the altar and say, Lord, I'm tired of being discouraged. Lord, I'm tired of talking all the discouragement of this world. Lord, I'm talking about how bad it is. I'm tired about talking about what we ain't got. I'm tired of talking about what we can't do. I'm tired of talking about what we know to do or what we wish for. Lord, I'm tired of talking about what we wish we would have been. I'm tired of talking about what could have been, what would have been, what could have happened. Lord, I just want to take it, Lord, for what you would have me to have. And God, I'll take nothing less than the land of milk and honey. Can I say this to you? We can enjoy a little bit of heaven here. Can I say this to you tonight, preacher, that even 85 years old, you can still do something for God.
Right.
Brother Johnny, can I tell you tonight there's still something you can do? Number one, tonight, we need to shut up the naysayers. Amen? Listen to me. They still, that crowd that says, well, that ain't how you ought to do it. Listen to me. I'm still a young preacher. There's some folks, Brother Johnny, that says he just don't know what he's doing. And then you know what they say about the older preachers? You want me to tell you what they say? They're just too old. They can't connect with the younger generation. I want to say this to you. I disagree with that. God's man preaching God's word will touch the hearts of God's people. Amen. I don't care if he's 12 or 84. And can I say this to you? Caleb could have easily sat down. Number two, he could have easily got bitter on God. You know how I know that we are a fast food Christian? When we pray about something, we expect it to happen right now. But Bill, I'm sure there's some things you've prayed about this took years in your life to get there, isn't it? Brother Junior, I'm sure there's been some things that you and Miss Betty prayed about that took some years. Let me ask you something tonight. How many in here would say, preacher, there's been some things I've prayed about that took some years to work out? How many could say tonight, preacher, I've been praying about something a long time, and I still believe it's going to take some time, but God's going to work it out. You know what Caleb didn't do? He didn't get bitter on God. He didn't sit down. Dad, he didn't say, well, God forgot about me. God done wrote me off. God done forgot about where I was at. You know, God promised me that. And I say this to you, God ain't never promised something he ain't going to keep.
Right.
Here Caleb was at 85. You know what he could easily say, Brother John? I'm too old for this. God, my time's past. God, I'm 85 years old. I've seen a whole lot happen. My bones are fragile. I don't need to get out here wrestling around. I'll just to break it in. Amen. Can I help with you? Richard, I don't have the balance I once had. Preacher, I don't have the stamina I once had. Caleb didn't say any of that. Do you know tonight some of the worst enemy you ever face is yourself?
You're right, preacher.
Preacher, you know what the favorite saying is? We want you to come sing in the choir. Oh, preacher, I can't sing. You know what the great thing about the choir is? I'm not asking to just hear you. Y'all right? Somebody help. I'm not asking you to sing a solo, honey. I'm asking you to get up there and try to help your brother out. You see, the great thing about a choir, it ain't about you. Y'all right?
You're right.
Listen to me. We all can't be preachers. Amen. We all, listen to me. We all ain't going to be the cream of the crop singer. But what I will say is if God's give you the ability to sing and you sit there and say time and time again, oh, I can't sing. Oh, I can't sing. What'll happen is you'll lose your joy of a song. And when the time comes for you to sing, God won't give you a song to sing.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't sing. I'm not asking you to do a solo. I'm just asking you to help the choir. Well, preacher, they'll think I sound terrible. No. You know what? Because I'm sure somebody on the other side might sound a little bit worse than you. Well, preacher, I just wouldn't say that. Well, that's why I didn't. You did. But you know what? The singing really is. If you're up here to sing for people to hear you, you're not singing for the right reason.
Amen.
You're right, preacher. You're right. Oh boy, I feel good.
If you're up here to sing because you want somebody to hear you, honey, you ain't up here singing for the right reason. Well, preacher, what ought I be singing about? You ought to be singing to the dear Son of God and showing your praise and thanks through song and worship for what God has done for you. Not what you've done for Him and not what people want to hear, but so the King of glory will get honor through song.
Amen.
Can I say this to you? You've got a talent. You play an instrument. You better get to play it. preacher. What instrument do you want me to play? I don't know. What do you play? Brother David Maynard plays the trumpet. Preacher, would you let a trumpet be in here every time Brother Maynard comes in? I let him play his trumpet, Brother Billy. He'll sit over here. Listen to me. First time we was in service today, remember? We was in a church service. And the choir was up singing. And this crazy older fellow was sitting over here blowing on the horn. And I want to tell you something. When we first heard Brother Maynard, he wasn't playing like he does today. He was kind of rusty. And me and Daddy looked at each other and said, what's that crazy feller doing? And then he got up and preached, and we became great friends. You said, well, but if all I can do is play the trumpet, you bless God, you better bring your trumpet and come on. Preacher, what if I can just sit there and tap along? Well, praise God, you better come and tap along. You say, why is that? Because God will take your talent and give it to somebody who will use it. I can't help but to think of Brother Odin. And the time that Brother Odin came to me and he said, we were standing right out here on the hill. Brother Odin, when I first met Brother Odin, he wasn't the Odin that I know now. He was Odin. And he's Odin. He's a changed man. But I'll not forget, Brother Odin, we was out on the hillside and he said, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I said, okay. What don't you want me to pray about? He said, preacher, the other day, he said, I think he was going through Taylorville somewhere, wasn't he? He said, I was going through back over yonder. I had to go somewhere. And he said, I stopped at a pawn shop. Is that about right? Folks, where was he at? He was coming from Taylorville back over this way. Where did he stop at? Up in Wilkesboro. Okay. He said, I stopped at this shop. And he said, I went in and there was a vase sitting there. And you picked it up, didn't you? And something called him and said, you need to buy that. He said, you put it back down, you got the corn with it. So he come back through again, and there it was again. You picked it up again, did you? Did you leave that time? He left that time. He said, God had told you to buy that thing, hadn't he? He said, I went back over there, and there it was again. This time you bought it. I said, well, okay, well, that's good. You know, I'm excited. He said, preacher, I can't play that thing. He said, I don't know how, I'm not musically inclined. The old tears welled up in his eyes. He said, but if God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. And he said, I don't want you to share that with nobody. He said, but preacher, I want you to pray for it. I said, surely. You know what I didn't do, Mr. Orlean? I didn't come back next Sunday. Were you working on it? Well, Brother Odin, you know you're too old to be learning new tricks. Y'all all right? You want me to tell you something? I believe if God put it on Paul Bennett's heart to play the piano, he can make that thing hard.
Yeah.
Preacher, are you picking? You said, I believe if God told Paul that he needed to take up piano lessons, and Paul was obedient to God, I believe Paul could learn to play the piano. Well, preacher, he can't hear good. I believe God can work that out, brother.
That's right.
Well, preacher, his fingers don't move. I believe God can work that out. And Brother Odin came in here one Sunday, and he sat down and had a bass. You know what my first thought was? I was like, the other Baptist, what is he doing? We don't know if he's even got that right yet. And Brother Odin took off. Every service, he's sitting up there playing. You know what? Just a couple of years ago, you couldn't play bass. You said, what happened? We are defeating ourselves.
Right.
Do you know how many blessings you rob yourself out of because you make some excuse? I can't. That's our favorite saying in the Baptist church. I can't. I've asked some, can you teach a Sunday school? You know what the first words say? Oh, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Well, preacher, I can't get up and talk in front of somebody. Why not? You talk to your wife. You holler at your youngins. You talk in front of fellowship hall. I run into a fella today. We went to Theo's to eat. I've known this man my whole life. I think a lot of him. If I call his name, some of you know. He is, Brother Kenny, he is super quiet. And I have known him. I think a lot of him.
his wife. I stopped and told him, he asked me how the church was doing. I told him it was doing good. Real quiet, soft spoken. To his wife, when he got ready to come, she slipped and got the hat off. She said, he spoke at church today. I said, he did what? She said, he got up and spoke at church today. He shared scripture while God had put on his heart for 30 minutes. This man, you can't hardly get a peek out of him. And he don't really talk real kind either. You say, preacher, what happened? I believe God wants you to do it, and he'll give it to you. Amen. Don't say you can't. And she said, it was wonderful. She said, I have never heard my husband share what I heard. He looked at me and he said, God can still perform miracles. And he won't talk. I take it wasn't the church. You say, preacher, can God really do things in as age as I am? Oh, he can. Listen to me. I'm not bitter on God. Listen, I'm telling you, it might take some time. Honey, it might take 45 years. But I promise you, if God said that we was going to do it, honey, God's going to see it through. I'm not sitting down because it ain't on my time. Honey, I'm not getting bitter because it ain't happened this quick. Honey, I'm just going to stay faithful. I'm just going to stay serving. Honey, I don't care what the naysayer says. Honey, God said it. It's going to happen. Man, don't you notice what Caleb did? Look with me back in Joshua chapter number 14. The Bible says that Caleb said this in verse number 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, Joshua, I'm 85 years old. He said, God's kept me alive, preacher. God's kept you alive.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice what he said. He said, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He says, you know what, Joshua? He says, I'm not saying that I can't do it. He said, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to do it. He said, because I believe, listen to me, he followed God wholly. He believed God for God. And he said, God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. And God, if I'm ready to fight, God, I believe you got my back. And God, if you want me to go out, God, you'll go with me out. And God, you'll come back with me when I come back in. And he said this. He said, now therefore, give me this mountain. He said, it's high, it's strong, it's tough. He said, there's some big men on the other side. He said, Joshua, I don't want to take the valley. He said, Joshua, I don't want to take the sidebar. He said, but Joshua, I want to take the top of the mountain and what's on the other side. Can I say this to you right about this tabernacle? I don't want to settle. Listen to me. I don't want to settle. Listen, I don't want to settle for what man thinks we are.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, I told you I was going to use you now. Has anybody ever told you you're too old?
No, I'll tell you
what. Be with them. Johnny, you ever heard some of these young sneerers say, well, they're just too old? Let me ask you something. How many of you have been young people before? And you said, they're too old. They can't do that. First time we went to, and Paul been with us, I thought, he's too old. He's going to break something. He didn't. You had a fun day that day, didn't you? You just wore out, but you had fun. Some of our young people might will say they're too old. They just don't understand. They're set and they're all listening to me. Honey, God's not finished with our old folks yet. Listen to me. I know we make an emphasis on our younger folks, but praise the Lord, at 85 years old, Caleb said, I'm ready to go. You know what he said? He said, I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to worship. You know what that crowd of naysayers sitting back sneering?
But I bet you there was some young man or some young lady that looked and said, you know what? When I get their age, I hope I'm still going like they are. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Jim, Brother Bishop, Brother Marvin Baker, these older men of God, Rusty, I pray that God lets me stay faithful one day and get where they're at. I pray, I look up to them. Every time Brother Marvin Baker comes and preaches, I'll never forget, Brother Bill, we had that night revival. That was before Richmond, and Brother Marvin took off and he jumped, and the heels of his feet put together this high off the pulpit. And I looked for him, and some of them people from Flint Hill was doing this. And I heard one of them older fellows say, preacher, are you okay? I've never seen you act like that. I never, are you all right? You jumped. He said, oh, I got this feet. You know what? I pray one of these days, when I'm 84 years old, that I'll still stand up, whether it's only for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and just take time to brag on the Lord who saved my soul. Hey, listen to me, who's been faithful over the years. Hey, if I can't think of anything else, just to brag on the name of Jesus. And just say, you know what, I can go. And I pray, listen to me, as a young man, I sit there and I look at these older folks. And I say, boy, I pray that I'll still be going like that. I pray that I'll still have some fire in my belly. Kevin said, I'll take nothing less. He said, if it's meaning to war, I'll go out and fight. And I'll come back.
Amen.
Won't you notice what happened? He set out. He set out on his journey. The Bible said that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. The Bible said in Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Jerjarbah, which is Arba, was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. You know what, Dad? I don't believe you had to go up there and fight. I don't believe Brother Junior he had to go up there and swing his sword. I believe he walked up there and they said, who are you? He said, I'm Caleb. And God told me when I was 40 years old that this land was going to be mine. You know what happened? I believe God had already worked something out on the other end. He said, you know what? God said you was having. He said, preacher, why do you believe that? Brother Kenny, they were at rest. There was peace. I want to tell you something. If we'll do what God tells us to do, we'll have peace. If we'll do exactly what God will tell us to do, we'll have peace. You say, preacher, what do we need in this life? We need some encouragers in the house of God.
Yes.
We need some encouragers. They'd be willing to look at this younger generation and say, it pays to serve God. Hey, it pays to be faithful to the house of God. It pays to sell out and follow God with your whole heart. Listen to me. We don't need a generation to tell them you're too young. That ain't going to work. Listen to me. The reason you learned and got where you're at in life is because you made some mistakes along the way. Listen, I'm not talking about going out here messing with life up and sin, but I'm talking about encouragement. We don't need some people that go back to the house and murmur about everything. We need some people to go back to the house and ignore it. God says that's where we're at. God be the Lord, that's where we're at. You know what we need in our church? We need some mouthful. God said he came. He's able and he will. You said you believe. So we need some people that'll do somehow. The Bible teaches us that without faith that it's impossible to please.
Right.
Without believing, without following hope, listen to me, we can't please. How many of them will please the Lord? How many people want to move some mountains? I think it's 2018 in order to move some mountains. I think we're to turn some rocks in there. I mean, I think we're to shake Ron up right there. Heads about, I suppose, Mr.